If you've been immersed in the online business world at all, chances are you've at least heard of my next guest. That's right. Big fish alert. Let's do this. Welcome to Entrepreneur Yet. For those of us, sometimes called side hustlers, trying to keep their head on straight while balancing building a business while holding down that 9-to-5. And I'm your host, Sasha Korobov. Hello and welcome to episode 13, Baker's Dozen. And as I teased last week, this is a very special episode. So before you build that website, before you spend money on ads, if you're just starting out, or if you've been at it for years with little to no traction, you need to hear this one. Today, we have with us the mystery, the legend, a bit of an enigma, Rebecca Tracy of The Uncaged Life. And I'm really excited about this episode because Rebecca is one of those gems that's really worth her salt and fills a huge need in the online business industry. And that's getting people clear on their business missions, their message, and how they help their clients. Now, that might seem basic, like duh, right? And it is, but so many people don't have this foundation in their business, even if they've been plodding along for a while. People like me just 2 years ago. I was one of those people who went to Becca for help after all the fancy other things I bought didn't work, because despite said fanciness, without clarity, you can't effectively use the fancy things. So just trust me on that one, I promise. Through Becca's no-nonsense approach in helping her clients and her wildly successful Uncage Your Business program, she's helped thousands of coaches, creatives, and other online business owners get clear on who they serve, how they talk about their business, and getting their first clients. And you know what? I still go back to her content as a first stop when I'm feeling stuck. But shameless gushing aside, if you know Becca, then you know you're in for a treat today. Today we talk about how she started her business, literally living in a van, why you need to niche in right now if you want to grow your business, the one thing that consistently surprises her about her flagship program year after year, what you need to stop doing if you want any traction at all, what beta testing will do for your offers, like AKA why you should totally do it, and her one mega goal she wants to reach as she approaches her 10 years in business. Now, there are one or two instances of some salty language in here in case you have, you know, tiny humans running around, but otherwise, sit back and enjoy this very special interview. I guarantee this episode will get you rethinking a lot about what you've heard about online business and how you've approached your own business. Here it is. Hello, Becca Tracy. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you.
Hi. It's so fun to talk with you officially here.
I know. Totes a fish. Now, I am excited to have you on the show, not only because you're just like an online business unicorn, which you are, but I really wanted to bring you on to talk about your experience and how you started in business, how you help your clients, and just some more cool things about you. But before we dive into all of that, how about I let you introduce yourself and share who you are and how you serve people?
Okay. I'm Rebecca Tracy, also known as Becca. And I work at The Uncaged Life, where I work with service-based businesses in the early stages of business. So lots and lots of life coaches and health coaches. And then we also get some healers and B2B folks in there and consultants and freelancers. And I work with people in that beginning stage when they're still trying to get really clear about what their niche is and how to actually sell what they're offering and how to make it all work. That's what we do. Those are our people.
And how did this come to be? Because clearly there's a need for it. Did you just have this great idea for this big need and go for it?
No. I started off as a holistic nutritionist and as a life coach. And I was kind of trying to make both of those things work in a business. And the people that were in my world were like other life coaches and other nutritionists. And at the time I was getting started and I was just practicing, you know, how to do my thing with people to get some practice in. And the thing that all of those people wanted was to be more clear about what they were doing with this next step in their career. And I wasn't a career coach. I was definitely not a marketer, but I was decent at coaching people and really kind of pulling out the thing that they really wanted to do and seeing past a lot of like their excuses and their bullshit. And so I started off just life coaching people who were starting businesses. And as I had some online business knowledge, but not a ton. And so as my business grew, I found I was picking up the marketing stuff really quickly. And I actually liked that part a lot more than the life coaching part of it. I was never a great life coach. Sorry to my first few clients. They might disagree. They were all happy clients, but you know, I never felt like I really fully got the grasp of it. I really like telling people what to do and being a bit bossier. So I just found that there were so many people in my kind of circle of friends who were starting businesses that were just like confused. They were like, okay, I graduated from my nutrition school. What happens now? Where is my clients? How does this work? And I took a couple of business building programs myself and saw that there was a really need for this kind of in-between work. Like everyone, a lot of programs kind of jump to, all right, build a website and build your email list and like do your marketing. And if you're not clear yet on what you do, it's really hard to go and then build a website. So I kind of found my niche within this gap that I saw in the market.
And in terms of, if we can talk a little bit about the where you were when this all started, you not in a standard 9-to-5, were you?
No. So I am maybe a little bit of an anomaly, but I was working part-time. I had just finished school. And so I think I had a part-time serving job at a restaurant. And my boyfriend at the time and I decided to buy a camper van and go off on a year-long rock climbing trip. We do a lot of climbing. And so the first year of my business, I ran out of the van. And so I was having to get used to van life and life on the road and also starting a business. I wouldn't necessarily recommend anyone do it, but the one gift that it really gave me was that I didn't have a lot of expenses. Like it's pretty cheap to live in a van. You're kind of just paying for some gas and some food. And coming from, you know, paying high prices for my apartment in Toronto, I actually saved money. So it was kind of a nice way to not have a lot of pressure at the start and to play around with things, develop things slowly. I couldn't work full time because I wanted to enjoy my trip. And so I was working 2 days a week in the van and then the rest of the time we were climbing and playing outside. So it forced me to build a little bit more slowly and really take the pressure off, which I think is really important.
I think you just struck on something very important. Would you be willing to share what kind of evolution your business has seen? Because it clearly wasn't an overnight success.
No. I mean, so in the first year living in that van, I think I brought in around $12,000, which to me was pretty cool. I was like, people just pay me $12,000 for this thing I just invented. Like, that's cool. But when I came home from that trip and I was living again in expensive Toronto housing, I realized that I wasn't able to just live off my business. And so I actually went in that second year and I went and got a job. So most people, you know, are moving to quit their jobs. I realized very quickly that I needed more money coming in and I didn't want to be so stressed out and in this kind of like scarcity feeling of like, I have to get clients, I have to make money. And so I went and got a job to take that pressure off and let my business grow. And then I think it was in the third year of my business that I actually was able to quit that job and just live off my income from my business.
I think it's really important what you just mentioned. What are some of the effects that you see with, I mean, you've helped what, hundreds, thousands of people by this point?
Yeah, lots of people.
What trips people up when they come into you and they say, look, I really need this business to work. I'm miserable in this job and I have to get out. What do you say to them?
I mean, I usually don't recommend that people just quit their job and think like, I'm going to start my business. And like within 3 months I should be good. Right. So I always, even though I didn't have a huge, you know, backup plan when I started, I was always kind of in the part-time job industry doing a lot of different things. So I knew it would be easy for me to go pick up work. But if you have, you know, a full-time job that you've been doing for X number of years, and this is your career, I always recommend two things. You either want to have enough money saved up that you could live off it for at least 6 months, probably more like a year. You know, if you had zero income coming in, would you be okay with the savings that you have, basically? Or to be making enough money from your business that you can live off that and you can make that transition. And so I usually don't recommend quitting until one of those two things are true. Your business is bringing enough or you've got enough in savings. There are always people who are just like, nope, I'm out. Like, fuck it. Wait, can I swear?
Yeah, go for it.
you can bleep it out. And they're just like, no, I'm out. I literally, like, you know, they're on the verge of a breakdown. They're like, I can't handle it. I'll figure something out. Which is, and I mean, go for it, you know, more power to you, but just realize that your business will not very likely be the thing that's going to replace your income. And so just have a backup plan. Be okay to go and take, you know, what you might think of like a lesser job or lesser pay as a way to fund your business in the beginning. So I just try to set those realistic expectations, because sometimes people think they'll just quit and in 3 months they'll be like up and rolling. And sometimes it happens, but most of the time it takes longer than that.
Yeah. And it probably, from a bunch of the CEOs and head honchos like yourself that I speak with, one of the really negative ramifications of people just being like, you know, I'm burning this ship down and leaving, is that they tend to make decisions that aren't great for business and put a lot of undue pressure on their business and actually slow themselves down. I don't know if you found that
yes,
to be true.
Yes, because when you're so stressed out about like, I need to get clients, you don't want to put in the work that it takes to actually validate your business idea. And this is kind of this business stage that I work in of like, you know, doing some market research, talking to people who would be your clients, figuring out what they need, putting together your programs, testing them, trying them out, tweaking them, really like validating and making sure that your business is something that people will actually buy in the way that you're selling it. So when someone's in that kind of urgency stage of like, I need money now, they jump into, you know, often investing in things like, I'm just going to go build a fancy website. I'm just going to spend a bunch of money on Facebook ads. I'm going to make this happen fast. And that doesn't work because they haven't finished stage one, which is validating their idea. And so, or I've seen the opposite too, where people refuse to spend any money because they're like, I don't have any money coming in. I'm just going to like bootstrap it. But they're like, they're consuming so much information online because they're like, I have all this free time. I'm going to learn. And they take in so much that they get super overwhelmed and they don't know which strategies will work and which won't work. And then they end up burning out before they even get any money coming in. I see that happen a lot.
And they don't know how to apply it. It's cool to have all of that info, but like, if you don't know what to do with it, that's about as helpful as, I don't know, like, what
is it? Or they're trying to apply it, right? They're like throwing spaghetti at the wall and they're like, okay, I'll make a webinar. Oh, that didn't really work. Okay, well, I'll, you know, post incessantly on social media or I'll go to networking events. And so they're kind of trying a bunch of things and some of it might work, some of it won't, but it's all missing the really solid foundation. And so it's kind of just like throwing a bunch of random stuff and they don't really know how to make it a repeatable system. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And then they quit and then, you know, they burn out and then they quit and then they're just back to their old job before they even gave their business a chance, which I see all the time. And it makes me really sad because it's just like, there's a better way.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, shameless plug, I can vouch for that better way. I've been in UIB twice and I have no shame in saying that it was so nice that I did it twice because I had a pivot, which happens in business. And I think people beat themselves up and say like, oh, this was supposed to be the thing. And then it didn't work. Like I tried a thing, found out I didn't love the thing as much as I thought I loved the thing. And then I did the second thing with Uncaged again. So, from your perspective, because you're immersed in this industry, obviously you hear this noise all the time. What makes Uncaged your business different from some of the other stuff that's out there?
Yeah. So Uncage Your Business, for anyone, this is the program that I run. First off, we run it live twice a year. And then in between those live launches, it's a self-study program. So during the live launches, myself and my co-coach, you did it when Erin Foley was in it, right?
Yes.
Our mindset coach. Yes. So she's the mindset coach in the program. Remember, I'm not good at life coaching, so I hired someone else to do that for me. We are really present in the program, so we give a lot of feedback. We answer every single question in the Facebook group. We give everyone a chance to ask questions on the calls. And so I think that's really important because especially when you're in this like figuring it all out validation stage, you kind of just need someone to tell you that you're doing it right or that you're doing it wrong or to pivot here. You just need like a little bit of feedback to make sure that you're going in the right direction. So for the live program, that's one of the huge benefits. We do also offer it on the self-study and people still get great results. So obviously the live isn't always, you know, the only way. But I think that the reason that our students get really great results either way that they take the program is because we really do focus on, like, it's really simple what we teach. People are like, this is, you know, when you first get into the program, you're kind of like, this is it. But once you get in, you really realize like, oh, really figuring out what my business is all about and what my message is and exactly who it's for. Like, we get really nitty gritty with it and people think like, oh, I already know that. But once they try to answer the questions, they realize they don't. And I think other programs just skip that. So that's a big piece. And it makes all the difference. It means that our students come out and when they go and they use all those, you know, spaghetti at the wall marketing tactics, they actually work because they've got the foundations and the clarity.
Okay. So I just thought of a new segment idea for the show, which is how to irritate my guest. And what, I know you're like, great. I would like to just shoot you, I don't know, two or three misconceptions okay. that I hear a lot out there and see how you respond. Are you cool with that?
Sure.
Okay. So the first misconception that I hear is, if I really niche down, I will never get any business because I'm just shoving too many people out the door.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the opposite. The problem with staying really broad in your niche is that everything that you put out there, if you're writing on social media or you're writing a blog post or you're talking about what you do, you have to intentionally keep it really broad because you don't want to isolate anyone, right? And so it means that when you're talking about what you do, the people that you're talking to never really understand it because it's kind of too vague. What happens when you get really specific is that people immediately know what you're talking about. So they either know it's for them or they know it's for their mom or their cousin or their friend, or, you know, down the road when they meet someone who needs what you offer, they're able to go, oh my gosh, I met someone who just does that. Like, let me connect you. And so the opposite effect is true. You actually get less clients when you stay broad because nobody understands what you do and nobody knows if it's for them or not. So you might like, you know, get your message in front of all the people, but none of them are actually giving you money for it because they're going and they're looking for someone who's specifically talking directly to them, which is what niching gives you.
Totally. So misconception number two. Well, okay, but if I get enough money pumped into Facebook ads, the people who need to see whatever it is I talk about will see it. So I don't actually need to be that specific.
People think that?
Facebook ads toward newbies. So, I've seen so much of it.
Yes. So Facebook ads are great. Facebook ads are a huge part of my marketing strategy right now in my business. They were not early on. And they, sure, if you have a ton of money to test, cool. You know, if you're just like, I got money coming out my ears, let's throw some Facebook ads, like test, you know, like a good Facebook ad strategist, a good one will cost you about $3,000 a month, will help you test. Cool. For those of you who don't just have an extra like 50K a month hanging around or a year, whatever. Facebook ads are definitely not the right way because again, think of how many ads you see, especially now that there's so many ads, even on Instagram, you know, they're in my Instagram stories. I'm like, how did that get there? People are seeing so much stuff that unless it's speaking directly to like something specific that's going on for them in their life, they're just going to scroll past it. So it's just going to be an expensive experiment. Even if you hire the best ad strategist, they still may not be able to get you results with Facebook ads because they can't determine your market for you, right? You need to come to them saying, here's my people, here's what I offer, here's their pain points, go write some copy about it.
Sure. So final irritating misconception, getting yourself out there is all a numbers game. So if you sit on social media enough and put it out there, they will come.
No, I mean, again, the specificity needs to be there. And this is one of the things that I see my students in Uncaged Your Business doing all the time where they're like, they're even hiring like a virtual assistant to help them like write their social media. And they spend hours like scheduling posts every single day. And it's just not effective. It's the same as Facebook ads, right? It's like, unless it's speaking to a specific person, most people are just going to gloss over it. I do agree that visibility does become, and sales does become a numbers game. You know, it's 100 people have to see your offer before one of them will buy, but they have to be the right people. It's not just 100 random people. It's 100 of your actual would-be ideal clients need to see it before one of them will buy.
Yeah. You're raving fans. Sure.
Yeah.
Now, would you mind if I ask to pull the curtain back on your own business for a moment?
Sure.
So you have Uncaged Your Business. You're about to launch the next round, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But basically, what I'm wondering is, you've talked a little bit about your evolution and how you were working out of a van and getting all of this going. What is next for your business? What are some things that you're really looking to explore as you continue to grow?
It's interesting because for the last probably 2 years at least, I've actually kind of stripped away everything else in my business. And all I want to do is sell and engage your business. And so there's not actually like a next, it's sort of like, what's the next program? So our goal now, and I can say our now because I have a full-time team member, which is very exciting.
Congrats.
And then there's Erin Foley, our mindset coach. So we've got a couple of people on the team now. So it's fun to say our instead of just I. So our goal is really just to get as many students into Engage Your Business who need it. In the live program, we have a cap on how many people we can have because we give so much feedback. But now that we have this self-study offer, our plan is to really, and what we're working on now is sort of really using our Facebook ads, using our Facebook group to just get more of those right people in so that we can help more people get past this kind of fuzzy, overwhelmed, confused stage and get their business started. So we're kind of doubling or maybe quadrupling down on UIB for the foreseeable future anyways.
Awesome. That's fantastic. And for somebody who has already, because this, I mean, this was the boat I was in, and this is the boat that a lot of people are in. For somebody who has already invested like tens of thousands, if they've had it, into business, what would you want them to know about like Uncaged and what to do next?
I mean, if someone has put a ton of money in, I guess that depends on where they've invested that money, right? Like, is it actual marketing help? Is it just getting a really fancy website? Is it useless Facebook ads that, you know, aren't working because they don't have the foundations? Engage Your Business is often we get newer business owners in it, but I have had a couple of good handfuls of six-figure business owners who six-figure business owners and businesses who have been like in business for like 2 to 5 years, but it's just still not working for them. And so I just think there's such value in every business kind of letting go of the ego and coming back to the basics, which is really what we teach in UIB, right? It's like, what's your message? What's your niche? Who are your people? Do you really know them? Let's like get really nitpicky with it. Doing that work again and again is so important for every business owner as your business kind of grows and shifts. And there's no shame in taking a step back and going, okay, I've spent all this money and it's not working. Something is up. It's very often, it's one of a few things usually. It's either the messaging and the niche aren't clear or you're not getting enough visibility. So if you're getting a lot of visibility and people aren't buying, the messaging and the niche are not clear enough. It's pretty simple. There's not like some other mystery about what's going on. If your message and your niche are dialed in and no one's buying, you probably now just need to get in front of more people. So it's simple, right? It sounds simple, but I think people get really caught up in the muck of all the other things. Like maybe the webinar is not working or maybe not, who knows? There's a million things that people think it could be. And it's really either you're just not clear enough or you're not getting in front of enough people.
Oh, there's so much noise out there. I mean, and just being relentlessly targeted. And I don't mean that as a negative. If people are advertising, more power to them, that's fantastic. But as a consumer trying to decipher all of that, it's mm-hmm. a lot. So
yeah, and I think most people jump to, oh, I just need to get in front of more people. And so that's when they spend all the hours on social media and they try to do the Facebook ads, but they're missing the clear foundation. So that's when it doesn't work.
Now, you've had so many iterations and rounds of people in the course. Is there something that really jumps out and surprises you every year about, you know, the different cohorts and what they learn?
Honestly, the mindset piece has been such a game changer. I never did a lot of mindset coaching. Probably when you were first in UIB, we didn't have Erin, right?
Yeah.
The first time you were in it. And so my approach was kind of like, and this is still true, taking action often helps you get over some of the mindset issues. It's like we just break it down into really small chunks and I push your butt out the door and you go and do the thing and then you realize it's not as scary as you thought and then you do the next thing. And very often the action does help you kind of push through some of the mindset. However, what I noticed was that people were still getting stuck and people were kind of dropping off and I just, you know, they'd ghost me during the program. And Erin Foley was actually one of our students and she was like, you know, I was doing a call with her once. She was giving me some feedback about the program. And she's like, I'd love to come in and just do a mindset session. I see it happening with a lot of the students. And I think that like, I could help them get past it. And so she kind of weaseled her way in and now she works, she works full time running the program with me. Her mindset coaching has been such a game changer because there's so much mindset when you're first starting a business. And I'm someone who would have been like, I don't have mindset issues. Like I, you know, whatever, I'm fine. But there's so much sneaky mindset stuff, like perfectionism, right? People are like, oh, I'm just a perfectionist. I'm like, no, that's a mindset issue. Or like, oh, I'm just a procrastinator. No, that's a mindset issue. There's so many sneaky mindset issues. And so having Aaron there, we each have a thread in UIB in every week where it's like, you can post questions for me about strategy and content, or you can post questions for Aaron about mindset. And there are some times where Aaron's mindset thread is like twice the size of my like content strategy thread. She's working for her money. But it's true. I mean, there's so much that comes up, and especially because it's so action oriented, like we're really making you do things in your business in real life. And that brings up a whole lot of stuff for people because they just want to keep planning behind the scenes because it's way safer.
Yeah.
The mindset piece has been such a game changer for me to realize and recognize, and then also to have Aaron there to actually support our students through it.
I mean, I definitely have been there, am there. I feel like if you continue to grow, you continue to have it. It just takes on a different.
There's always, yeah, it just looks different. Yeah. Even like you said, like, oh, my last business didn't work and I'm starting again. You know, there's so much mindset stuff in there. It's like the shame that didn't work and like the pressure of this one has to work. And, you know, we see that a lot too. It's like, this is the last thing and it has to work. And just like easing, loosening up some of the gripping thoughts that our mind does when we're starting a business is so important.
Well, and it also helps to understand that the good news is nobody is forcing you to do it. So, yeah. I mean, this is all choice. It could potentially all be okay as long as you just start stripping that pressure off for it to be the thing, which to your point is exactly why the mindset piece is huge, will continue to be huge.
Yeah. But even though no one's forcing you, we still, almost everyone has a mindset issue. We see most people have a mindset issue around, what are people going to think if I quit my job, if I don't quit my job, if it doesn't work? Like, there's always like, what are people going to think? What are people going to think? And when we boil that down, Erin does an exercise that I love with people where she really has them drill down, like, exactly who are you worried about? Like, you're kind of saying, you know, what is it? What are people going to think? But you're thinking of a specific person, and always people are like, yeah, it's my mom. Or, yeah, it's my ex-boyfriend who still follows me on Instagram. Like, there's always someone that they're worried is going to judge them. And it helps to really break it down to that one person and then look at the truth around that and kind of loosen it a bit from there.
Okay. So having been a full-fledged head honcho for as long as you have, I hear people assume that all their problems will just be like, you know, swept up in the breeze. They have their business, they go, they do their thing, nothing to worry about ever, ever again. And I don't want to say it's like doom and gloom. That's not what I'm trying to ask you, but is there any way that you can sort of fill in the gaps of some realistic things to expect once you're a full-fledged CEO?
Yeah. I mean, the very first part that gets challenging is just like managing everything yourself. So when you start, it makes sense to just do it all yourself. You got to know your business inside and out. You're going to learn a whole bunch of skills that you probably never wanted to learn. And you just do it because usually we don't have the money to hire it out. But once you start growing and you have enough, you know, volume coming in and your time is more limited because you have more clients or whatever, you need help. And so that first like letting go of control is always a scary part, let alone having to hire someone. But like just the letting go of control and trusting somebody else to be in your business and do the things for you is a huge thing that happens. And I see really a lot of people struggle with once they get full time. There's also the kind of up and down. It's like you can go full time, but then you might have a bad month and then you might have a good month and they're all still okay, but they're not consistently growing. And I think that can really mess with people too. And they start to panic and again, getting to the scarcity mode. What else? My biggest challenges lately have been like really building a team. So I've always hired things out of my business and, you know, the letting go of control is probably something I'm still working on 9 years later. But now, you know, I have a full-time team member. We have a part-time assistant. We have people, the program coaches that work in the program, and realizing, holy crap, before I could just go and like not work for 6 months and it didn't affect anyone but me. But now I have, you know, salaries to pay and people relying on me for a job. And that's been very scary. And I've had huge mindset blocks myself about that. So again, these are successful business problems. I'm not complaining about this, right? Like we're trying to grow to $1 million. This shit's going to come up.
Yeah.
But there's just always a new level of stuff. It's like, you know, what if your clients outgrow you? What if, you know, you build up a big community and then you realize people are buying from someone else? Like, you always have to be current. That's a big one that happens too. So there's always something, but I will say the beginning stages are the hardest. 100%. Like, the first year of your business will be the most stressful and the hardest one, because you don't know if it's working yet, right? Once you've had some success, you're like, okay, that's repeatable. I know how to do it. But at the beginning, you haven't had the success yet, and you're putting in so much time and you're not seeing the reward. And I personally think that's the absolute hardest stage of business.
Thank you for being so candid about that.
I mean, I work with hundreds of people every year in that stage, and I'm just like, it gets better. It's still stressful, but it's not this like, oh my God, is it going to work stressful? It's like, okay, it's working. And now I need to figure a lot of other shit out, you know, which is less stressful for most people.
So, because I don't just want to, you know, be like, actually, it can be really hard and just focus on that. I'll flip it and say, what is just like the coolest part about being your own boss and having this business that's grown to this thing that you've created?
I mean, my favorite part about it, aside from helping all my amazing clients and seeing them. So my favorite part about it is actually seeing my clients like go full time. You know, it's no longer a side hustle. They're like, I quit my job, or like, you know, I bought a house with the money I made in my business. I have a client who just bought her first house, and she's like, I did this with my, you know, fitness coaching. So that's really cool. Selfishly, my favorite part is that I get to make a schedule that really works for my lifestyle. I mean, my business is called The Uncaged Life, so it's kind of implied. It's always been important to me to be able to not feel stuck and tied down to a particular job or a particular location. And so right now I take like 5 months, maybe 6 months off a year. I'm not totally off, but you know, like, I'm traveling, I'm off in the woods, I'm rock climbing, I'm, you know, going to daytime yoga classes, like whatever. If you added up all the hours, I take a lot of time off. And I think that's amazing that I can just do that. And then there's other folks who create a totally different schedule for themselves. They have kids and they want routine and structure. And so they've sort of built in like half days, 5 days of the week or whatever. So I just love that you can decide that, and you can really create a business model that helps support that.
That's awesome. And, in terms of, because I mean, you have three, I don't know. Well, you could be like, no, you're actually totally wrong about that. But it sounds like you have been willing to put yourself out there and test and try and tweak and get feedback, which freaks people out.
Oh, it's really freaky.
Let me pause there for a sec. Would you mind talking about that a little?
Yeah. Well, so I'm trying to remember if I did it in the beginning of my business. So definitely in the first year of my business, when I was living in that van, I think I tried and tested over 10 different programs, meaning like one-on-one coachings, one-off sessions, a VIP day. I ran a group program. Like, I was just putting offers out there all over the place and just like testing stuff out. Some of them nobody bought. I was like, okay, yeah, it's not going to work. Some of them, I think my group had like 8 people in it. So that, you know, they had varying success. So I was definitely willing to just put stuff out and try it. In terms of getting feedback, that is something that I've definitely worked harder on in my business now that I'm really doubling down on Uncage Your Business. It's like, it has to be really good because it's the only thing I'm selling. I think everything should always have to be good, but it just felt like a lot more pressure. And so I always ask for, I send out a feedback form after the program. I ask questions about how it went and, you know, recommendations for what I could do better and all that stuff. Still hard to read. You know, I'll get 100 great ones and one kind of bad one, and I'm like, but it's, you know, I have to read it. And then I actually have done a couple group, I'm losing the word for what this is called, a call where I get like 5 past students on, and I just
like a focus group.
Focus group, that's the word. And I just ask them questions, and that was hard to do the first time, but they were so great. You know, like, they all ultimately like love me in the program, but they were really willing to tell me the pieces they didn't like and what didn't work for them and what worked better. And that's been really, really helpful as well. So yeah, the feedback piece is hard though. And I always recommend if someone is like, I'm putting offers out and no one's buying, my question is like, have you asked them why they didn't buy? Like, have you given them a chance to tell you why they didn't buy? And people will always say, oh, it was like because they didn't have time or they didn't have money. And I'm like, yeah, but there's more digging to do there. Those are always going to be your top 2 excuses. So there's more digging to do to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, what really is behind that?
Well, and because, not to get too like, you know, airy fairy, but like, it definitely feels a little like if they're criticizing our business or a program, like they're calling our baby ugly. Like,
yes.
It's like taking it personally.
Yeah. And it's really hard when, like, I have a lot of confidence in my program now because I've just run it with 1,000 people for the last 5 years or something. Right. So I know it's good. There's still places it can get better. And I still take that feedback into consideration, but you're right. When you're new and you're just starting, you don't know what's good yet. Right. You just don't know what's good. And this is why, I really recommend beta testing your offers and just making it like a no-brainer to have people in the program who are the right fit, but to let them in for free or let them in at really low cost in exchange for some really detailed feedback. Because a lot of the time, you know, I'm not sure, your audience is probably a mix. A lot of the time I work with folks who are like in a corporate law office and they're becoming a health coach. Like they're doing something totally different. Yeah. It's not like they're becoming, you know, they're becoming a freelance lawyer that they already know about. They're like totally switching careers. And so a lot of the time, they just don't know if they're good. They don't know if they can get results or not. And so we really push people to go and practice with as many clients as you can mm-hmm. until you get those results, because that really helps build your confidence.
Sure. Sure. That makes perfect sense, because clarity through action, confidence through action.
Expect to start with confidence, and it doesn't happen that way.
No. And no one's waiting behind the curtain with a big stick, like to reprimand you if it goes wrong.
Yeah. And by kind of leaving it open that they're going to be giving you feedback, like you have to be okay with hearing about why something didn't work. And I think that's where the mindset comes in. It's like, it's easy if you hear negative feedback to just shut down and be like, well, I guess I suck, but you need to stay open and you need to stay consistent and you need to stay persistent. And if you can be those three things, then you can get through the negative feedback and you can get curious about what you could do better, and then you'll test it again. And then you'll test it again. And I think that's the thing that makes people successful.
You know, so random nerdy metaphor that I'll drop on mm-hmm. occasion. I, for the better part of a decade, I worked at NASA, and something that
I always forgot about you. I knew that. That's so yes. cool.
It was kind of cool. But those nerds who are like building rockets go into rooms and like plan failed designs because they know that it's the fastest way to get good info and to figure out what's actually going to work. So like, I mean, have a little reason behind it, but yeah, throw stuff against the wall, test, put yourself out there. Each little scar that you get is going to improve the bigger mosaic of what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So before I went down that rabbit hole, I was mentioned that you've had a lot of evolution in your business. You've obviously grown it a lot over the last 9 years. There are so many things out there. Now you're doing Facebook ads. I love your Instagram. I've seen you on Instagram. Is there something that's like kind of cool or that you're exploring that you're like, oh, interesting, that's sort of working for my business that kind of surprised me?
I mean, I'm trying to learn Instagram. Not surprising or cool, but I'm just like, that's been a struggle for me to use in my business. And so that's a new one that I'm trying to figure out along with the rest of you, probably. some of you are probably more advanced at it than I am. So I think the biggest surprise for me has been actually turning Uncage Your Business into a self-study program. I was really convinced that, and so just to be clear, like I don't ever recommend creating an online course when you're first getting started. It's not usually the best starting point. But I'd been running my program for 4 or 5 years, four or five years already. And I was just convinced that it wouldn't work as a self-study because no one would buy it. And, you know, my ego, I was like, they need me for the coaching. They need me. And right. So I worked with Mariah Cause, do you know Mariah Cause?
Not personally, no.
I should say that more slowly. Mariah Cause. Mariah Cause. And she teaches people how to create online courses. And because I'd already had a successful business, it was fairly easy for me to kind of use what she taught and have a lot of great success with it. And she was like, you know what? Why don't you just create it and see? Like, why are you deciding for your students whether or not they're going to want it or not? Like, put it out there and let them decide if they want it. You're not pretending that it's, you know, got live feedback and then it's just a self-study. Like you're being very obvious about that. So do it. And so I did. And yeah. And I was like, but, and she's like, you're not fooling anyone. They can read the page. It's very clear what it is and what it isn't. And it's like selling like hotcakes, which I am shocked about still. I mean, it's a good program, but I we all have these hangups of like, oh, but I need to be involved and people need this. And we don't actually really always know, which again is why market research is so important and just trying things out and being willing to have them not work. So that's been a fun thing. And that's letting us grow now, because previously we ran the live program twice, but we had a cap on it. And so we didn't have anything else to sell. And now we all of a sudden have ways to make money for the rest of the, for the rest of the year, which we didn't have before.
That's awesome. I've got just two more questions. You've been so patient and kind.
Patient? What are you talking about? This is fun.
I was like, whatever, we're jamming out. It's fun.
We're done.
So I have a question about over the last 9 years.
Every time you say 9 years, I'm like, what are you, who me? I'm like, what is she talking about? And I'm like, oh, that's me. That's crazy.
So first of all, what happens at 10? Are we having a party? What's going down for 10?
Well, I never really cared about like, oh, we got to make $1 million, but it's kind of fun now that that could actually happen. So we're kind of working towards that. So maybe it'll happen in my 10th year. I don't know. Is this my 10th year? I don't even know. 2011, like end of 2011 I started. So whatever the math is on that, probably next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll have a party. Who knows? Maybe I'll have a big.
I feel like $1 million is at least worth a cupcake.
It's probably, yes, that's true. That's true. It's true. It's stressful though. It means just a whole lot of other things that it means when you start bringing in that kind of income and a whole bucket load of other stresses. But yes, I'll have a party because it's still something to celebrate.
Okay, good. All right. I know that you say that there are a lot of gremlins and a lot of things that'll scare you about it, but at least get yourself a damn cupcake.
I will take a cupcake, and mostly I will give one to my team because they are the ones making that happen.
So, but you've only earned about 4/5 of the cupcake because you're not at 10 years yet. So
true. If you,
now we're disciplining you with the cupcake. How's that? So knowing what you know now, if you could go back and chill with Becca in the van, who is trying to be like a nutritionist and life coach, but also like in a van and needs to make something work, what would you tell her today?
I think I would have her niche in sooner. Like, I think that if there's one thing that sort of made the difference in my business and that would have made the difference even faster would be just getting that niche even more specific and clear. And I think really like slapping that into me, because, you know, you kind of hear it. And then you like try to do it, and then you kind of do it, but you don't really do it, but you think you've done it. And then I would tell myself to like actually work with someone who could sit down and like help me sort of map out what that looks like. And I think also, I don't think I had a really clear understanding of like how this all works. Like, okay, so I put myself out there, and then what can I expect? What do I need to actually do? Like, what's the, you know, like even just this idea of these stages of business, there's like the validation stage, and then there's, you know, the success stage, and then there's like the growth stage. I didn't really get it all. I was just kind of like, I don't know, keep putting stuff out and maybe someday something will happen. So I think I just didn't have a clear strategy or like a system. And it's pretty simple. I mean, there's not a lot to it, right? It's like, get really clear about what you're offering, put it in front of people, and then like offer to help them. Like, that's all you have to do. But I didn't see that. I kind of got lost in like the forest for the trees or whatever that thing is, that saying is. And so I think just kind of having someone map that out for me would have been really helpful, so I could be a bit more strategic with where I was putting my time.
Okay. So to that end, once people have gone through Uncage Your Business and they're, you know, clear and they're a little more focused, it almost sounds like you were hinting at that a little bit. How important do you think past that point is mentorship?
I actually think that that next stage, I guess it depends. I was going to say, I actually don't know that mentorship is that important at that stage, because once you've got that clarity, the getting the clarity, I think, is one of the hardest parts.
Yes.
That's why my business exists in the first place. I see it all the time. And I see a lot of businesses that are failing that just haven't done that piece. But once you've got that clarity, you just need to get in front of people. And there's lots of different ways. And maybe that's where the mentorship would come into play of like figuring out, like, is it going to be through social media? Is it going to be through getting onto podcasts and getting more visible that way? Is it going to be through Facebook groups? What is your way, your most natural way of gaining that visibility? But I usually tell my students not to buy anything for the next 6 months after UIB. I'm like, literally just work this plan. Okay. Like, you've got your foundations. I'm going to give you a 3-month list of like all the things to do every day, every week, every month. One of those things is getting on podcasts to grow your visibility. And once you've got all that going, then you'll have a better sense of like, okay, is this working? It is working. Maybe my messaging's off. Like, you'll have a better sense of what's going on, but you really just need to kind of work that plan first and not jump into like the next shiny thing.
Which is so hard. Oh, the rampant nature of shiny object syndrome in our world, right?
Yeah. There's a few things. Like, I often recommend a sales program because a lot of the time people who are coming from other jobs where they've never had to sell themselves just aren't good at selling themselves. And there's a, you know, learning sales in a way that feels good for you is super important. So I'll sometimes recommend those types of things. But yeah, for the most part, it's just like, you just need to get your offer in front of the right people. And there's so many different ways you can do it. And I can give you my favorite ways that are all done online that don't require you, you know, going to a bunch of networking events. But find the ways that work for you and then put your offer in front of the people. That's like all you got to do.
And I think that's also really important to take away is, despite what people may tell you, there isn't one way to do this. And it will depend in some pretty large degree.
I had somebody recently tell me that, she was like, I think I didn't ask me anything in my Facebook group. And her question was, I've had people tell me that I have to be going to 3 networking events a week in order to make enough contact in order to make this work. Like, what do you think? And I just LOL, right? I was like, I've never been to a networking event. It's not my thing. I feel really awkward. I'm really like leaving the house and big groups of people. Like, I'm not that much of it. I'm an introvert, but it's not my thing.
Yeah.
And so there's ways to get in front of those people that you can do online. But the strategy, like, that, you know, behind that is fair. Like, you need to get in front of the people. So if you love events, cool, go to a bunch of events. If you hate events, cool, get on LinkedIn or wherever your people are. Like, there's so many different ways to do it. Get on podcasts like this one. There's just lots of other ways. And if you're introverted like me, you don't have to be going to any networking events, let alone 3 a week.
Totally introverted here. So yeah, networking, not my jam.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Becca, I, and I'm sure all of the other listeners out there are wondering, UIB, Uncage Your Business. Can you tell us a little bit? That's right. Proud alum. Can you tell the listeners?
We're getting t-shirts, I swear, one day.
I hope I'm first in line, just so we're very clear.
You will be.
Excellent. Excellent. Would you mind telling the listeners where to learn more about it, how to sign up, because it's an awesome program.
Yeah, I guess this will probably be shared like very soon to when we are going live.
So, within a week, yeah.
Great. Okay, well, so the next round, if you're listening to this in real time, starts March. Nope. Yeah, March 3rd. What is the month? March 30th. March 30th. You can pop over to my website at theuncagedlife.com/uncageyourbusiness. And that page has all of the program details. We just keep everything on the page. I know some people, when they put up a waitlist page, just kind of have, you know, sign up here. We just leave it all on there because I want you guys to, you know, I want people to really get a sense of what it is so they're not making rushed last minute decisions once we open the cart. We have a live chat on that page. So I'm there most of the time if you have any questions. And we also have a really great free Facebook group, which even if you have no intention of joining Uncage Your Business, the Facebook group is great. It's an awesome place to connect with other people who are at all stages of business. We've got brand newbies who are still in their 9-to-5s. We've got people who are somewhere in between. We've got like full-fledged, full-on business owners. And it's just, we use it as a place where you can come and like ask questions, get help, you know, not have to talk to your family and friends and people who don't understand your business about business things. This is a kind of a built-in group of business friends for you in this group.
I cannot tell you how many times I have just like poured my heart out in that group. I mean, it helps to also have a question. So I've done that too. But
We get some heart pouring. We get some questions.
Yeah. It's such a great, it's Uncaged Lifers, right? On Facebook?
Uncaged Lifers. Yeah. It's totally free to join. You could probably spend all day just scrolling through and learning stuff about business just from the questions that are in there already.
Totally. So go there to find your entrepreneurial brethren instead of the people in your life who love you and really mean well, but don't get maybe why you're doing what you're doing. So maybe find some like-minded people. And I just want to, well, first of all, Becca, any final bits of advice for people out there who are spinning their wheels and struggling?
I mean, I think just the knowing that it's totally possible, that even though it feels like you're like, I don't know, and is ever going to work, and am I ever going to make the transition, you totally will be able to. And I highly recommend investing in some kind of help. So it doesn't have to be Engage Your Business. There's other things out there depending on where you're at and what you need. But if you're trying to do it all by yourself, you need somebody else to come in and just really sort of be able to step away and look at what's going on, because we're just too close to it. Like I still need this in my business. We're too close to it to really see those blind spots. And I think getting that support early on, the right support, can really help make sure that you're not kind of getting into the weeds and then getting burnt out from it all.
Excellent. Becca, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
So fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you are one of my favorite people, favorite business owners. So this was a real treat, and I know a real treat for the listeners.
Thank you. Oh, that's really sweet.
Okay, friends. I hope you've picked up a lot of good tips and perspective from this episode. I know that I had a blast talking with Becca, and I've been in her program twice, so I know she really delivers and is the real deal. And because she's so generous, she's doing a free training on March 23rd on how to get clients to come to you. I have dropped a link in the show notes to that special offering. If you're curious about joining Uncage Your Business in the upcoming round, which starts in about a week's time, I have also linked that in the show notes, as well as how to get into her awesome free Facebook group, which she and I chatted about. And finally, her Instagram page is also linked. Okay, that was awesome. Thanks again to Becca for coming on. And if you did enjoy this episode, cherished listener, why not leave a rating or review for the show? It's quick, easy, and free to do, and it helps get people like Becca out to more people who need to hear her wisdom. Otherwise, that's all the time we have for today. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week for yet another special episode, because you deserve it. Until then, don't forget that you're awesome, and so is your business. Take care.